Thanks so much for joining us today. Our hope and prayer is that God will use this message powerfully in your life and that it'll bring you closer to Him. If you'd like more information about our church, or if you'd like to hear more messages, you can visit vibechurch.com or download our app. Now get ready to receive a word from the Lord.
Well, good morning, everyone. It's so good to see everybody this morning. Man, what a great, powerful time of worship, wasn't it? Thank you, worship team. You know, I don't know if you guys realize how much work that those folks put in, from production team to the worship team, and just so much work that goes into that experience that we get to be a part of. And so, yeah, let's give it up for them. Hours and hours, you know, God's gifted them with talent and ability, and they have to work at it and hone it and practice. And so, thank you for doing that, and for our production team. Wow, so we're in Romans chapter 8. We're in this series called Route 66, and we do that every summer, and we call it Route 66 because there's 66 books in the Bible, and we like to go through one book through the series of the Bible and just kind of sometimes chapter by chapter, not necessarily verse by verse because it would take us forever, last longer than a summer. I heard someone say that they were their church was going through the book of John, and they had been in it for like 4 or 5 years already. That's like, wow. Yeah, I can understand that if you go verse by verse. But there's no mystery. Like, what's pastor preaching on Sunday? Book of John. I mean, like, we try to mix it up a little bit, you know. So at least you know we're in Romans. And we are finishing up Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8 is like the crown jewel of the book of Romans. Romans chapter 8 is so, if you want to memorize some scriptures, there's some great verses of scripture in Romans chapter 8. And today we're going to look at another one of those great verses, and we're going to end it up verses 31 through 39. But, I've shared, I'm pretty open book. I'm pretty transparent as a person. If you get to know me, and if you've been around at Vive and you've heard me preach, you know, it's like, you know, you pretty much know what's going on in Randy's world. By just listening to him on Sunday. And, you know, there's different reasons. Some people are just transparent and some aren't. And, you know, for me, it's very healthy and helpful to just maintain balance. And to be honest with you, you guys are like free counseling for me. I just pour my heart out to you. I'm playing kind of, sort of, but not really. But one of the things I've shared about it seems to be a key that's unlocked a lot of things in people's lives, is when I first started out in ministry, I was very insecure, and I remember it very clearly. It was rough. It was a rough time in my life, and not that I never wrestle with it anymore, but when I first got saved, first started following Jesus, and first went into ministry, I was very, very insecure, and it was a tough thing, and I kept thinking, God, why did you call me into ministry? You know, like, I am broken, right? Why do you use broken, you must be really desperate, you know? Like, if you have something around the house, and it's broken, and you're using it, it's because you're too broke to pay for another one, or too lazy to go buy a new one, right? And so it's like, God, why are you just, you can't find anybody else? I'm broken, find somebody who's not. And I've come to realize that God loves to use broken people. And he loves to heal them in the process. Amen? Amen. Any broken people in the house? Yeah, God loves to use broken people. Those ones that are all put together and got it all together, he can't do much with you. I'm just sorry. But broken people, he really likes to. And so he works through us. And I didn't understand that at first, and I struggled with it. And for the first several years in ministry, man, I would like preach, and just, I would go to Robin and I'd say, Robin, how'd I do? And she's like, oh, it was good. I'm like, no, really, how'd I do? And she's like, it was really good. It was like, no, to be honest with me. You know, like, you ever done that? You're like, they could just, you know, tell you over and over again, you did great. You're like, there's something broken inside. It's this insecurity. And I realized a few years into ministry, you know, even pastors are broken. And I realized a few years into, as a youth pastor, that this isn't going to work for the long haul. I can't deal with this. I hate feeling this way. I hate walking into a room and feeling like I'm the least of everyone in the room. Not that I wanted to walk in and be arrogant, or I didn't want the exact opposite of that, but I wanted to have some confidence. I wanted to just feel like, you know what, I belong here, right? And God's doing something in my life. And I hated to just walk into different meetings and different rooms and when there were other youth pastors, and I always felt like, you know, my youth group was the least and I was the least. I don't know if anybody knows what I'm talking about, but that's what I was just dealing with and wrestling with, and it just drove me nuts. And I got to a point in my life, and I just said, God, I don't want to be like this anymore. And sometimes, you know, not sometimes, all the time, that's what it takes, is that we just don't want to be like that anymore. You think, oh, you know, you think you're broken and you can't be fixed. God can fix you. He can heal you. There is no doubt about it. And so the Lord started me on this season and this process of healing in my life. And it's a journey that we're on. And not that I'd never wrestle with that, not that I never have those thoughts again, but I understand some things. And this morning I want to talk about some of that that I hope can bring life and healing and restoration in your heart. Let me ask you something, and maybe you've been asked this before. I know I have, and I love to think about it because it really makes you really start to dream. What would you do if you knew you wouldn't fail? What would you do if you knew you wouldn't fail? Maybe you would ask that girl out on a date. Maybe, if you're married, you better not. You're going to fail. She's going to kill you. Your wife. I'm just kidding. But maybe you'd ask, you know, ask that girl out on a date. You'd work up the courage. And maybe you would start that career that you wanted to start. And maybe you wanted to change careers. Maybe you would start a business. Maybe you would go into ministry. Maybe you would do some of the things that God's stirring in your hearts. I don't know what it is for you. What would you do if you knew you wouldn't fail? Think about it. I mean, if you had that security, that safety net under you. I mean, if you knew you could launch out into some business venture and it's not going to fail, you've got all the financial support that you need. What about Chris? What would you do, man, if you knew you wouldn't fail? I mean, you'd go peanut man all over the world, right? I mean, all over, yeah. I mean, what would you do if you knew you wouldn't fail? I don't know what it is for you. In 1937. The Great Golden Gate Bridge was completed, and it cost over $35 million to build. It was completed in two different phases. Now it would be billions and billions. But the first phase moved along really slow. But the second phase moved very rapid. And in the first stage, though, there was no safety devices when they built this Golden Gate Bridge. There were no safety devices installed. And if workers fell, they would fall 200 feet to their death. And so you can imagine, if you're working on a bridge, no safety devices. I mean, we're talking, you know, back in 1937, there was no such thing as OSHA, right? I mean, you ever see pictures of these guys working on these skyscrapers? They're no straps, nothing. They're just walking. I'm like, what in the world? But no safety devices. And you can imagine if you're working 200 feet drop, you know, you'd be a little cautious, right? You know, like, ooh. And so they moved a little slow. But in the second stage, they installed some safety devices. See, they would estimate when they would build bridges and skyscrapers and things, there was they would figure in how many deaths would take place. Now they don't do that, hopefully. But they would figure about one death per $1 million for the project. That's how they just kind of like, oh, yep, we're going to lose one per million. That was about the average. But in the second phase of the project, when they built the bridge, they installed this safety device. Joseph Strauss was the engineer, and he said, not on my bridge. We're not going to lose one person for every $1 million of the cost. And so they installed this safety net as a precaution. Just in case someone slipped and fell, it would catch them in this net. The cost of the net was $130,000. When you think about it, it's like, it's a drop in the bucket, $35 million. And once the safety net was installed, productivity went up 25% immediately. Why do you think that was? It's because they had a sense of security. Because they had a sense that if I fall, I mean, I don't want to fall, you know. I could still get hurt. But if I fall, I'm not going to splat. I'm not going to be dead. I might hurt a little. But there was that sense of security. There's something that happens when you and I have that sense of security, that sense of assurance, that sense of a safety net underneath us. See, insecurity slows us down. It bogs us down in life. It's the thought of insecurity, it just works on us and it holds us down. The thought of things not working the way that we planned, it cripples us. How about the thought of what if it doesn't work out the way that I planned that it would? Or what if I look like I fail in the eyes of someone who I really care about, or I care about their opinion, right? See, when we're insecure, when we're fearful, when we're concerned about what we look like and how we come across, and it makes us really cautious, it makes us really unproductive. And there's so many times, you know, as I watch people, and in my own life I've seen this happen, is that I don't move forward. I'm cautious. I pause. I hold still. I hold in a certain pattern because I don't feel like I have that assurance and that security to launch out. See, I think it undermines insecurity and fear, undermine the key elements of faith, which are trust and obedience. I don't know what's going on in your heart. I don't know what you wrestle through, and even if you are wrestling through something like this, but if you're wrestling through a state of insecurity, maybe it's because of something that's happened to you in the past. Maybe it's, you know, in your marriage or in a relationship, maybe you're a little cautious to move forward in this new relationship because you've been hurt, right? Maybe you got cheated on. Maybe you're threatened with divorce. Maybe, you know, and so there's just caution and this fear. Maybe you're afraid to jump out into a new career because you lost a job and this happened and you went through a financial crisis and it set you back. And because of that, there's this pause, we just hold back. I don't know what it is you're struggling with. Maybe in your walk with the Lord, maybe you're a little cautious. Maybe you're not ready to just jump into what you feel like God's calling you to do because you've struggled with a familiar sin and you feel like, man, I struggle with that, and I'm always going to struggle with that. I don't know. I don't know what it is that's going on in your heart, but you do. Whatever it is, you're afraid of failure. You're afraid to just jump out and trust the Lord because maybe you feel like it's just a matter of time before you slip and fall again. I want to encourage you this morning that God has a safety net for you. God has provided a safety net for you. Romans chapter 8, verse 31. I love this passage of Scripture. Again, this is a great one to memorize. There's actually a lot in these verses, so there's several passages you can memorize, but let's look at it. Romans chapter 8, verse 31 through 39 says, "What then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us?" That's enough, isn't it? If God is for us, who can be against us? "He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who is he that condemns? Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God, and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, verse 37, no. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I'm convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation. I think he's got it covered, doesn't he? Nothing is going to be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. If God is for me, who can be against me? If God is for me, who can be against me? What is it? What is it that's in your heart? What is it that if you could try it, if you could do it, God's put that in your heart, you knew you wouldn't fail, what would you do? What is it that you would take that risk or that chance? What is it that you would step into? I want to look at three things that's in this passage of Scripture. See, security in our lives, when we feel like we've got that security and that assurance, that safety net in our lives, security creates stability. Stability breeds, you might want to write this down. This is original. I have one original thought per day. No, I'm just playing. I actually have a few. But security creates stability. Stability breeds confidence, and confidence opens the door of faith. Let me say that again. Security creates stability. So when I feel secure, there's a stability in my life. Stability then breeds confidence. Not arrogance, not pride, but confidence. You belong in that room because God is for you, right? You belong in where God's put you because he's the one that puts you there. It's not an arrogance, it's not a pride, but it's a confidence. Security creates stability, stability breeds confidence, and confidence opens the door of faith. God wants to stir faith inside of our hearts this morning. Verses 31 through 32, I want to focus on three things out of these passages of Scripture. First of all, there is no opposition to us who are in Christ Jesus. There's no opposition. There's no opposition. See, just because, and we talked about this last week, just because things go a different way than what you've planned, just because you planned a trip to Disney and you planned for your kids to have fun and never fight, and they do, you know, just because you start a business and it doesn't turn out the way that you think that it should have, just because you start a job and it doesn't end the way you thought that it was supposed to end, just because things don't turn out the way we think they should, does not mean opposition. See, we think immediately, if things don't go the way that I plan them, if things don't go the way that I set out for them to go, there's opposition. And that opposition, you know, we got to fight against that opposition, right? You ever broke down on the side of the road? You wonder, what in the world? Does God even love me today? Right? Man, I lost my mic. Friday night, I get a call. Noah, my son takes my father-in-law's boat. Takes it. He's going to take it up to near Clemson to Lake Jocassee. So I'm getting it all ready for him, trying to help him out. And he gets up the road about 30 minutes. And Dad had a blowout. I need you to come get the trailer because I got to go to Jocassee. Savannah's got to do this photo shoot, and we're late. So I'm like, great, there goes my Friday evening. So I go and I get the trailer and sweating on the side of the road, almost getting hit by 50 cars, all that, you know, and get home and you're wondering, God, what's your plan in all this? This is interesting. And then Saturday, we go up. We got to pull the boat now. We got to go up and take it to him. And you know, how do we get ourselves into this, parents? Right? And I'm too nice. I'm cutting off the nice. But anyway, so we get up there, and we're like within a mile of the lake. Actually, we drove over the bridge. We could see the water, and all of a sudden, I look back, and my tire's flat. I'm like, really? Really? Things happen. I don't know why things happen like that. But we can get all twisted inside. We can get all bent out of shape, and we can just rip apart the people in our lives. Robert and I just looked at each other and says, well, we at least get to spend some time together, right? Because here's the deal that makes it even better is that we couldn't find a tire anywhere. I had to drive another hour and a half. If you know where Lake Jocassee is and you know where Simpsonville is, I had to drive to Simpsonville to pick up a tire. And so we got a lot of good quality time. We got a lot of time to talk. It was a great day yesterday. Me and Robin alone in the car. I don't know why things happen. I don't know why things didn't work out the way that you planned. I don't know why things go, you know, what seems to be different in our lives or wrong in our lives, because anything that's against us, we think it's like this is opposition. And maybe the Lord is redirecting us, right? I've got two little grandsons. One's almost three and one's almost two. And their heads are at the right height for every coffee table in my house. You know, every table, it's like we've got little bumpers on things so that they don't get their head gouged. We just don't need that, right? And so, you know, they'll be like trucking along and I grab them by the head and just woof. All the time. And they're like, Pa, like, what's going on? Sometimes the Lord just grabs us by the head and redirects us because we think, man, we're going in this direction. This is what I'm supposed to do. And we have a great plan, right? Like we talked about last week. God, if you'll just, here's the plan. This is a really good plan. I don't know if you thought about all these options, but this one is it. And then we get jerked by the head and we're like, well, what's up with that? Lord, what are you doing? There is no opposition. There is no opposition, verse 31 through 32. Can we just read it again? What then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son but gave him up for us, all how will he not also along with him graciously give us all things? God is for us. He's for us. He's not opposing us. See, if I'm headed towards something that's going to hurt me, my Heavenly Father who loves me is going to redirect. Don't look at everything that happens in your life as opposition. Don't fight with everybody around you because it didn't go the way that you thought it should go, right? Hopefully that word will just spare a lot of family feuding this week, because we do tend to rip those who are closest to us, right? Maybe the Lord's just redirecting you. Maybe that flat tire is to keep you from getting killed. Maybe it's to keep you in a place where God wants you that day. I don't know what it is. There's only one person that God opposes. Some of you know that verse. He said he's going to oppose the proud, but give grace to the humble. And see, if there's humility in our hearts, we check our hearts. He's not opposing us. So there's no opposition. Second, out of this passage of Scripture, there's no condemnation. We already looked at that in Romans chapter 1 or chapter 8, verse 1. There's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. One of our biggest fears, though, as human beings, is the opinion of others. Now, I know some of you say, I don't care what anybody thinks of me. Right. Sure. Then keep it off of Facebook. I don't care what people think of me. How many likes did I get on Instagram? I'm meddling. I'm sorry. We do care about what people think. I don't care how tough you come across, and you, I don't care, I'm going to just do my thing. Yeah, we care about what people think. One of our biggest fears is what people think and their opinion of us. Let me tell you something. God thinks about you all the time. He's crazy about you. He's proud of you. He's for you. He loves you. There's no condemnation. And third, there's no separation. No separation. Let's read it, verse 35 through 39. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life nor angels nor demons, neither present nor future nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation. Did you hear that? Nothing, nothing, absolutely nothing. He's got it all covered. He went through the whole list. There is nothing that can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. There's no opposition, there's no condemnation, and there's no separation. Well, another one of our crippling fears as human beings is the fear of rejection. The fear of loneliness. As a brand new believer in Christ, I would get saved every Sunday at our church. Every Sunday. Like when, you know, that back in the day, it was when, like, pastor would say, if you'd like to receive Jesus into your heart, you'd like to be saved, come forward. I was there literally every Sunday. I would come down, and I'd kneel, get saved, because I screwed up the week before. I fell into sin again. I struggled with something that was a familiar sin and a habit in my life. And so I would come and get saved again. And then I realized, after somebody came alongside of me, after this went on for really a couple of months, it just went on and on, and I guess they thought, well, I don't know what's going on with this guy. And finally, a friend of mine who I had met at the church, one Sunday, he comes alongside of me, kneels beside me, and he just quietly prays for me. And then he says, you know, you don't have to get saved every week. I'm like, really? See, I grew up Catholic. You got to get saved every week. You got to go to the priest every time and confess. So I'm still in Catholic mode. And it's like, man, if I mess up, if I'm not just meeting that mark and I'm not perfect, then I need to get in. And he says, no, man, you don't have to get saved every week. There's a security that we have in Christ. There's a security that we have when our life is in Christ. Now, if we sin, the Bible says, confess your sin. He's faithful and he's just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Absolutely, confess your sin. When you fall short, when you fall into sin, when you do things, confess it to the Lord. Get free from that thing. But there's a security in Christ that he doesn't kick us to the curb. Just be like, oh man, you had a bad thought. Poof, you know, off to the side. Oh man, you said something wrong. Poof, you know, off to the side. Oh, you lost your temper, you know. And when I first started following Jesus, that was, I thought, man, you know, at just the drop of a hat, I was in the outs. You know, I was not the favored child anymore. You know, I was not, God wasn't happy with me. And I learned something, that we are secure in Christ. See, listen, security creates a stability in our lives. If you're walking around insecure, if you're walking around feeling like just at the drop of a hat, God is going to kick you off to the curb, yeah, you're going to lack stability in your walk with the Lord. It's going to be a shaky, shaky road. But security creates stability. Now, let me just be careful, because when you talk about stuff like this and you talk about security as a believer, sometimes people get the wrong impression, because there are those who take it way too far. They let the pendulum swing all the way and they say, I can do whatever I want and I'm secure in Christ. If that's your attitude, if you really want to do everything you want, I doubt that you're in Christ. Let's just say it like that. So maybe there's some heart issues you got to resolve first. Because it's like, You know, people ask me all the time, like how far can I go and get away with it? That's the wrong question. That's totally the wrong question. I'm talking to those who want to live for Jesus and who do love Jesus. And yes, and we fall and we make mistakes and we sin and we give into the flesh and all those things that we can call it all different things. But we fall short of God's mark, his glory, his holiness, his perfection. But he doesn't kick us to the curb. We're in relationship with him, right? We're in relationship with him. We've given our heart to him. The Holy Spirit lives inside of us. Without getting real deep theological, let me just say this. That yes, I believe there's a point where somebody can just say, adios, God, I don't want you in my life. I don't need you. I believe people can walk away. I don't think it's so simple. I don't think it's an accident and you wake up one day and you're like, I didn't even realize I was. I think it's intentional. There's a security that we have in Christ, and that security creates stability in our walk with the Lord, and that stability breeds confidence that you and I, we're children of God. We belong in this relationship. He loves us. He shed his blood for us. And there's a confidence that we can have. Listen, if you're going to grow in faith, because that confidence opens the door to faith. If you're going to be a person of faith, if you're going to walk in faith, you got to have that confidence. You got to know who you are in Christ. You got to know that you're not the same person that you used to be. Yeah, I'm not saying that you don't struggle sometimes. I'm not saying that thoughts don't come into my mind sometimes. When I walk in a room with pastors and the enemy just says, what are you doing here? Oh, it happens to me. But I just say, I belong here. And it's like, whatever the enemy's trying to, I'm telling you, you got to have that confidence. You got to know who you are in Christ if you're going to walk in faith. What would you do different? What would you do different in your life right now if you knew there was no opposition, no condemnation, no separation? What would you do different? Would your life look different? Would you act different? Would you carry yourself differently? What would you do different if you knew that God was for you and not against you? Man. Having that confidence of knowing God's for me. He's for me. He's not against me. And when he puts something in my heart, he's for me, not against me. You know, we've done a lot of things, and this is my transparency moment. Over the last several years, or since we started Vive Church, we're coming up, this October will be 10 years that we're 10 years old. We're a decade old. It sounds like an old church, right? We're a decade old. But in the 10 years, we've done some crazy things. I've done some crazy things. And some of the things, yeah, I see heads shaking. Some of them you never got to see. No. But I did some crazy things as a pastor, and some of the things, you know, well, all of it, I felt like the Lord was directing. We launched a church in Orangeburg after, I think we were 3 years old at the time, maybe five, and launched a church in Orangeburg, and things didn't turn out the way that we had planned. And at first, it did a real number on me. I'll be honest with you. That summer, I wanted out of the ministry. I remember being in North Carolina. I was up at my father-in-law's house up there in the mountains. And I was there for a week. And it was probably the closest I've ever been to depressed. And I was just like, I want out. I feel like a failure. I feel embarrassed. All these things, you know. And if I'd have given in to all that stuff, the enemy would have won. He would have won. But I started to listen to the Lord. And I started to remember Who's for me? God's for me. If he's for me, who can be against me? I don't have all the answers, and I don't have it all figured out, and I don't know why things go the way they do, but I do know that God is for me. I know that he can't separate me. No one can separate me. A situation can't separate me from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus. And so my faith began to be restored. My emotions began to be healed. And then we started a church in Chapin. And man, it was, I don't even remember, a year-ish, we had to close things down in Chapin. Again, man, it did a number on me. It's like, what's up? I don't know, but I know who's for me. I know who's against me. The enemy's against us, right? But I know who's for me. I know that God has a plan for us. And I know that he redirects us. Are we going to figure out his plan totally? Maybe not totally, but there's a lot that if I had the time this morning, I could tell you the things that God did show me, the things that God brought out of those situations. There's no other way that those things could have come to pass. No other way that they could have come to pass except the Lord directing us. Listen, I just shared that with you, not so that, you know, this isn't like, you know, Failures Anonymous kind of group, you know, like, hey, here's all my failures now. Because I really, honestly, I don't believe that they're failures. And I want you to understand something. That whatever it is in your life where you feel like you were moving in a direction and all of a sudden the road dropped off. Or you took a total detour from what you originally planned. Don't see that as a failure. God's for you. He's redirecting your life. He's teaching. There's things that he's doing inside of you that's the only way he could have accomplished those works, those things inside of you. Think about it. Look back at it. You know what I'm talking about. There's things that he had to take you through that situation. He's for us. He's not against us. He's provided a security, a safety net for us. We can have the confidence to step out and to walk that beam of faith and know that he's for us. You're not going to fall and die. He's got you. You're safe. You're secure. Amen? So what is it that you would try? What is it that you would do? Where would you go? If you knew that God was for you and no one could be against you, if you knew that even if things don't work out exactly the way you originally planned, but God is still for you, there's no condemnation, there's no separation, there's no opposition, what would you do? Would you stand with me? Would you open your heart to him? Maybe you're here this morning and you're like, yeah, I believe in God, but would you open your heart to him? If you knew that God was for you and no one could be against you, if you knew that he would provide a security net for you, that there's no condemnation, would you open your heart to him? Would you trust him? Would you give him your heart? Would you take that step of faith? Would you take the things that God is stirring inside of your heart, birthing inside of your heart, would you take that? Would you be willing to step out and do that? Can we do that this morning? Father, God, I thank you that you're for us. It's not something we have to earn. It's not something we have to get enough gold stars to reach that status. God, you're for us because you love us. We're created in your image and your Holy Spirit lives inside of us. We've given you our heart, our lives, Lord, I thank you for the stability that that security brings. And God, I thank you for the confidence that that stability creates in our hearts of knowing that we belong here. We belong in a relationship with you. We belong in the room. Not because of us, but because of you, the confidence that we have. God, this morning, it's my prayer that that confidence that is in us would just swing the door of faith wide open. Lord, there are some things that you've been stirring in people's hearts. There are some things you've been showing people. And you've been nudging them, and you've been speaking to them about stepping out, and there's been some fear, some hesitation. God, you're calling us out. You're calling us out. If you're here this morning, you say, you know what? I want to trust Jesus. I want to trust him for salvation, for my eternity. I want to put my full trust in what he's done. I want to take my belief in God and I want to step over into my faith and obedience in God. I want to pray for you. Would you just slip up your hand and say, that's me. Can we pray together? Come on, everybody, lift your hand up. Let's go. Father, in Jesus' name, those whose hands are raised that are saying, I'm taking that step from just belief to faith and trust in you. Stepping out. God, I pray that you would stir their hearts and grow their faith. If that's you, if you raise your hand, just say, Jesus, come into my heart, come into my life. I trust you. I trust you. And I give you my heart. Give you my life. In Jesus' name. God, I thank you. I thank you, Lord. If God is for us, who can be against us? If God is for us, who can be against us?
Thanks again for joining us today. We're hoping that this message brought you to life. If you have any prayer requests or if you'd like to connect with our church family, you can email us at info@vibechurch.com or you can fill out the contact card section in our app. We're looking forward to hearing about all the ways that God is moving in your life. And until next time, go bring somebody to life.